Welcome to TJ Frog's podcast, where I chat about my knitting, Dorset buttons and creativity in general, as well as sharing my love of Scotland, especially the Highlands and Islands. Hello, I'm Tanya, aka TJ Frog, or sometimes called the Button Lady. And in my creative business, I predominantly make and promote the traditional craft of Dorset buttons, which dates back to the early 1600s, a cottage industry that employed many people in Dorset on the south coast of England. Brought up in Dorset, I now live on the Isle of Skye, and wherever you may be in the world, welcome and thank you for joining me for my 20th episode, pre-Edinburgh Yarn Festival. Hi. Oh. I did not think that I would be doing my first episode of 2019 in March. Yeah. Life sometimes throws us a few unexpected curveballs and some things have to take a back step. And for me, the podcast has been one of them. If you follow me on social media, you may have seen me refer to a bit of an emotional time since the beginning of December. It can be very hard when you are a private person while also having a public presence to share personal information, to know how much to share, because I still want to say something so that you know why you're not hearing much from me. If you have seen, you might know some of the outline facts. If you haven't, to condense what's happened since December, we've had 5 bereavements. And this included in early February, a friend of ours who took his own life on the same day my mother-in-law passed away. And then we had their funerals on consecutive days 3 weeks ago. As you can probably gather, it's been a bit of an emotional roller coaster. It's been a strange time, especially when my biggest work focus throughout this period is preparing for Edinburgh Yarn Festival. It's been a very disruptive time as well, lots of travelling to and from south. And yeah, a lot of things have had to give, understandably. Therefore, this is a different episode. It isn't following my normal format. I have lots and lots and lots to catch up on with you from the beginning of 2019 and with Edinburgh Yarn Festival a few days away. Can you hear the panic in my voice? Now is just not the time to be focusing and catching up on everything that's happened in 2019. As I said, introducing this episode, this is pre-Edinburgh Yarn Festival. It's a short episode, and the next episode will be a post-Edinburgh Yarn Festival where I catch up with what happened at the festival and have a couple of sound bites for you from people there. I apologise now if you're not coming to the festival. Hopefully, though, you will still find it interesting, and particularly the interview that I've got for you on this episode. And after this episode and the post-Edinburgh Yarn Festival episode, I will endeavour to resume to normal service with all my other sections like the weather report and my whips. What I'd like to do then is touch briefly on the festival, where you can find me if you are coming along. And what I have for you is an interview with Kirsty of Schiller's Dare from here on Skye. And Kirsty will be exhibiting for the first time at the Make Wool event on Sunday the 24th of March, so one of the fringe events after the festival. And it's her first time as the new owner of Schiller's Dare. Another exhibitor at that Sunday Make Wool event is Aileen Clark of Aileen Clark Crafts. And I'd also planned to interview Aileen for one of my episodes earlier this year. Sadly, with everything that's happened, I think I had to cancel our interview on 3 occasions, and thank you to Aileen for being so understanding with everything that was going on. If you listen in regularly, you'll know that I like to do my interviews face to face. For me, it's just a far better experience for a whole host of reasons. For both parties, it feels more authentic. We don't have the same technology, interferences with time lapses, and the conversation just feels like it flows far easier. And of course, it's always nice to see people. We will catch up with Aileen another time this year, though. Aileen and I first met in the pop-up market for Edinburgh Yarn Festival 2015. And then we were next door to each other in the pop-up market at Edinburgh Yarn Festival in 2016. And last year, we were opposite each other in the main marketplace. So we've seen each other's businesses grow and develop and evolve over the years. As I say, Aileen is part of the Make Wool event on the Sunday, which is just looking like it's going to be a fantastic day. And that's probably where you'll find me doing most of my shopping. Aileen lives in Fife, though, which is nearly a 5-hour one-way trip for me. So you can see it's not easy for me just to pop over. It is something that has to be planned and scheduled in. If you don't know Aileen's work, then do have a look online at what she does. She makes the most amazing fibre art and textile jewellery. All sorts of things from shawl pins, earrings, trinket boxes, felted pictures, all in these amazing rich colours that you would find in a Scottish landscape. Heathers, foxgloves, greens and turquoises and just beautiful, beautiful work. And then she uses some of her felted pictures that she creates to make into other products such as coasters and mugs and bags and cushions and notebooks. There's just all sorts of accessories. And every year I find myself adding to my collection of something from her stand. As I say, it's a shame we didn't make that interview, but we will do it at some point later in the year and we'll get to hear about how she started off and what her influences are and the different medias that she works in. If you are coming along to the Make Wool event, and I must stress that this is a ticket, advanced ticket event only, and the tickets are sold out. So please do not turn up on the day hoping to buy a ticket. You will get to see Kirsty of Schiller's there from Sky. And there's also another Sky business as well who were at the Meet the Shepherd Shepherdess event last year, Rachel and Stephen from Croft 29. And you may remember it's their Hebridean fleece that is in my Pole Dorset and Hebridean limestone and clay mix of yarn. Edinburgh Yarn Festival itself then, Thursday to Saturday, the 21st of March to the 23rd of March, just days away now. I cannot believe where the time has gone to. As I say, I've just lost so much time these last sort of 3 months or so. All again, the advance tickets are all sold out. However, for this event, you can buy a ticket on the day, on the door. What I would stress is go to the Edinburgh Yarn Festival website and please read their FAQ section on tickets because it's very well explained. All the information is there. If you are coming along and you want to come and say hello to me, I'm located in the Baron's Cafe. So as you enter the Corn Exchange through the main entrance, you will end up on the concourse. Straight ahead of you, all the way down the concourse, you will make your way into the marquee, which is a socialising area. On the right-hand side, you'll have the main marketplace where the majority of the vendors are. You will also have vendors down the concourse as well. And on the left-hand side, there's some little steps and that takes you up to the Baron's Cafe. And you also go through there to the cloakroom as well. So if you're dropping off your coat or any luggage, then you'll be right in the area where I am. In this area, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes with the layout if you've not seen it already, there's 8 businesses in this area here surrounding what's called the Wool Research Station. I might be just a teeny weeny weeny little bit biased. I can tell you though, if you are interested in finding out more about UK sheep breeds, seeing samples, seeing exhibitors with 100% wool who can tell you the full provenance and the story behind it, then this is the place for you to head to. There is going to be a lot of temptation. And if you're not coming along to the festival, then have a look at the layout and have a look at the businesses in this area if this is the type of wool that you are interested in. Because I think most of the businesses, if not all of them, have online shops as well. The Wool Research Station itself, there is going to be Zoe there, the founder of The Wool List, who you might have seen at other events or you might follow her online. Zoe has a PhD where she specialised in British sheep and fibre qualities for knitwear design, which sounds fascinating. And Zoe showcases research into British sheep and wool, and she's got a variety of products relating to the different breeds. I've never met Zoe before. I'm right next door to this particular area and her stand, and I'm really looking forward to meeting her and seeing what she brings, because I understand there's going to be a lot of information and a lot of interesting things to explore. I am in this area with some esteemed company, starting with my immediate next door neighbours, Uist Wool. I was fortunate enough to go to Uist last year for the first time when they hosted the North Atlantic Native Sheep and Wool Conference. And having heard so much about Uist Wool since they'd begun, it was lovely to actually get to visit the mill and to have a tour and hear all about the work that they do. Also on our side of the Baron's Cafe, because it's kind of split into two sides and there'll be seating in between, we also have Rook from Germany, we have Arden Lanish, Isle of Mull Weavers, and we also have Garthenor from Wales with their organic wool. And then on the other side of the section, there's Iona Wool, Wensleydale Long Wool Sheep Shop, and Uradale Yarns from Shetland. What a great lineup, hey? You will notice that all of these companies support native breeds or breeds from their island or their area. They've all got a great story behind their businesses. There's a personal story. There's connections to the farmers, to the crofters, the people who they source their fleeces from for their wool. So as I say, if this is the type of backstory and the type of wool that you like, come and see our section, because I think it's a really exciting addition to what Joe and Mika are doing at Edinburgh Yarn Festival. If you are coming along, do come and say hello. I'd love to see you, but please, please, please tell me your name. Tell me your Ravelry name, your Instagram name. Sometimes we have all different names. And I'll apologise now because I may well have met you before and I might recognise you, I might not. I find more and more now with all the different festivals that I go to and teaching workshops and just attending events, you know, sometimes I recognise a lot of faces. But it's probably just an age thing as well. My memory's not as good and I can't always remember where I've met people or place people or remember people's names. And it is frustrating because I used to be so, so good at that. So please don't be offended. Just give me a little nudge or a little reminder. Geraint, my husband, TJ Fuchsstaff, he will also be with me for the duration of the event, except for Thursday afternoon when he has to go away for another event. So I have a wonderful person who is stepping in, helping me as honorary TJ Fuchsstaff for the afternoon. I have Faye Dashper-Hughes of Knit It, Hook It, Craft It, the Crochet Circle podcast, and Faye Dashper-Hughes Designs. I'm incredibly happy and excited that she accepted when I asked her. We met at Caithness at a retreat, I think it was back in 2015, and we've both seen each other's businesses grow. And you may recall that Faye designed a crochet shawl called the Crisscross Shawl in my first ever batch of Shawlines and Strata wool, the Pole Dorset and Hebridean limestone mix, and it was the four ply that Faye used. Faye now has a number of crochet and knit designs, and she's a big champion in particular for crochet. And I love listening and occasionally watching her Crochet Circle podcast, because Faye does it as an audio and as a visual YouTube video. And I'm learning a lot about crochet through Faye. And did you know that Faye has a global hookup? Yes, so Faye regularly via Zoom hosts a global online craft session. So you join in with your craft and you can either show your face and chat, or you can be muted, or you can cover up your video so that, you know, camera, so that nobody can see you, yet you still feel connected, you still feel part of a crafting community with other people at that moment in time. I think it's a fantastic idea. And again, that's something that Faye has done. She's set up and that's now a regular part of her schedule. With a background working in waste management, Faye as well is especially focused on making a difference in this particular area around her business, making sure that her business is environmentally thoughtful, using materials as best as possible so that there's minimal waste, using materials again, recycling. And Faye can also tell you the whole chain within her products that she produces, you know, where every single product has come from, the whole manufacturing story. So making sure that everything is ethically sourced and fits in with her ideals and values around her business. Again, you know, I'm learning a lot from Faye in that particular area. I love what she's doing and I'm really very honoured that she's going to help me out for a few hours. So here's thanking Faye in advance. And as I say, if you're coming to the festival and you want to come and speak to Faye and you want to ask her anything about her business or anything about her crochet or knitwear designs or global hookups, then please come and ask her about that as well. But she will also be able to help you on my stand too. So what's new for Edinburgh then? I have some single breed pole Dorset and the lovely Helen of Ripples Crafts has hand-dyed some of it for me in three different colourways. I also have two new Dorset down yarns, DK weight, and together all of these go really well and they all have a little bit of bite to them, so they're great for Fair Isle work. Really hardy, sturdy yarns that will keep you warm or good for sort of household accessories as well as things like scarves, hats, mitts. And I also have 20 skeins, yes, just 20 skeins, of 50 grams of Dorset Down shirling, which was spun up for me in a soft spun Aran weight by the Border Mill in Scotland. This is a new product for me and I'm delighted with how it's turned out. I've left it natural even though it looks like it will dye up beautifully, but with so few skeins I thought it was best left, particularly if some people want to just buy that 50 grams to perhaps put with other natural coloured yarns for a particular sheep breed product that they want to make. I do hope to be able to bring you more of this though in the future, having done this little small amount to see how it would turn out. There's new Dorset button earrings in size and also design, stitch markers in different sizes as well. So I've now got not just the packs of three, but packs of five with smaller rings and new kit designs, a small selection of new bags. And I also have a new design which incorporates tweed from Skyweavers. And this is the first of some new designs using both my fabric and their fabric. And I'm very excited about that. So listen out for the new designs post Edinburgh. I'm sure if you're coming to Edinburgh, or even if you're not, you will probably have had a look at the website to see the vendors. You might well have seen the vendor previews that have been posted on social media. And I think there's some amazing goodies out there to tempt all of us. There is so much to explore. So yes, if you are coming along, do pace yourself. There is a lot to do and a lot to see and all the amazing people to meet as well. And I do very much look forward to hopefully seeing some of you there. I mentioned I have an interview for you with Kirsty of Schiller's There. I last interviewed Kirsty in episode 9, New Beginnings. And if you haven't listened to that interview yet, then you might like to listen to it at some point. Kirsty is a wonderful, innovative, creative person, and she has fantastic ideas, and they all have a link to a meaning in place, in time, people, colours, nature. And I just get so excited whenever I'm sat chatting to Kirsty, because it's just wonderful listening to her. So if you have time, then do listen into that and hear about some of the range of projects that Kirsty's been involved in the past. And I think that would just give you some idea of where Kirsty is going to take Schiller's Day. You know, there's so much that I'm sure she wants to do. A year on then, we listen to what Kirsty's been up to. We hear about what we can expect from Schiller's there. There's exciting plans for Kirsty and Schiller's there. So do listen in, because if you're planning a trip at some point to Skye in the future, you might well be interested to make what they're going to be doing part of your plans. So listen in, even if the festival is been and gone. Enjoy. Kirsty, welcome back to my TJ Frog podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank
hello.
You.
It's quite a while ago now. It was, I think, at the end of 2017 when we last spoke.
Yes, it was, which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes.
And now here we are, just over 5 weeks away, when you're going to make your debut as Schiller's there at the Make Wool event on Sunday the 24th of March.
Yes.
At Edinburgh Corn Exchange as part of the fringe event for Edinburgh Yarn Festival.
Yes, we are super excited. We've got so much to do, but it's a good thing. But it's I think you'll remember we were meant to be in Edinburgh last year, but we on the Sunday, and we were just, productivity has taken longer to get going than we were quite optimistic people, I think, and we thought everything would fall into place, but we have been through different hurdles with setting Schiller's there up. So this Edinburgh Yarn Fest is really important to us, I think, to just step back and think, wow, we made it, we got there. And I just can't wait to meet people and to finally be on the other side of the table instead of wandering around looking at all these amazing things that I've done in the past going, I wish that could be us. And now it's going to be. So yeah, it's super exciting.
I went to the Sunday event last year and I loved it. It was so relaxing, lovely to see the other producers.
Yeah.
And I think this year it's twice as big and there's
and
a fantastic selection. Yes.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to have a great time and people are going to be introduced to you taking Schiller's there forward.
New
beginnings.
New beginnings. And that's, I think, as we were just saying before, my husband, Simon, has never been to a yarn fest before either. So, and he has sort of stumbled into his life of wool, which he's really enjoying. And thank goodness he loves. But I think it's just going to be, wow, he's not going to believe it. It's just such a huge deal, isn't it?
It is. I don't think he'll be the first partner, other half, who's ended up being pulled into
yes,
the...
I know.
I think there's a few of them. I mean, certainly, Garrett, my I call him my TJ Frog staff, you know, he just never ever imagined he would be stood on a stand like selling wool and Dorset buttons
doing
and
the chat, but no, it's a good thing. So yeah, no, we're very, very excited. Yes.
So many people will know the Schiller's there name when Eva and Tony were running the company here on Skye. And as we said, new beginnings with yourselves and how you're taking this forward.
Yes.
So what can people expect to see in terms of the content of the yarn, the weights, the colours?
Okay, so we have gone all British. When we had our cafe, we were all about provenance and using local ingredients. So I think it's just natural that we've gone into the same thing with our wool business. So it's all British wool. We've got our first range, which is Coera, which is sheep in Gaelic. My son will tell me I pronounced that incorrectly. They are in Gaelic medium, so they keep me right. So it's 70% Blueface Leicester, 30% Shetland. No, wrong way around. Is it?
Okay, so a little moment of self-doubt there, because he's just been away to double-check.
Yes, that is correct. 70% Blueface Leicester and 30% Shetland. And we have this in lace weight, 4-ply, DK. The DK is quite a sort of a heavier DK. And a weight that we nicknamed the rope, which doesn't sound but it's like a chunky, which is the lace, which has been plied together 3 times. So it's a lovely chunky yarn, but ideal for hats and wintry kind of garments, yeah. But, and not to be called the rope.
Not to be called the rope. I think it's got his name already.
So yeah, so we've got those, and we have, I don't know, Tony and Eva had 26 shades in the spectrum. Yes, yeah, so We have less.
But they were doing it for many, many years.
So at the moment we've got, hopefully we'll have 6 or 7 different shades that we're going to take down, and more natural dye than you could shake a stick at. So we've got plenty of that. And then another 6 shades, I think, 6 or 7, depending how the next 5 weeks go. And so we're just going to take along samples, and obviously there'll be people can buy the yarn if they wish. And but I think we're kind of seeing the whole event as an opportunity to introduce ourselves, to meet other people, for people to meet us, and to hear about our plans and our thoughts. And I know it's a privilege having Shilla's there, because, you know, the more that we have the business, the more we realise how well known it is, and how, you know, we get emails a lot from people saying that they had bought from Tony and Eva. So I think people might be curious, are hopeful that we're going to do it the right way. So it's and just also I think we're very open to hearing what people want and hearing what people think and what they've liked about Shilla's there, and what was so good about it for them. And so we'll be open and be ready to absorb ideas from what customers tell us as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, we said we've still got just a few weeks left. And this morning, Kirsty has taken me to the dye shed where it all happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, amazing. I've never seen that machinery before, because I went to Shilla's there when Eva was still dyeing in the big pots in the actual shop, the little room at the back. And then I know that it moved into the side building, didn't it?
Yeah.
And you've now got your own dye shed.
We've got a dye shed here. Yeah, so we built that. That was 4 winters ago. We started the foundations. And yeah, so it's been such a long time coming. And as I was saying, you don't realise how far you've come, because especially in the winter, living on Skye, we're heads down, we're busy, we're working, you know, getting ready for the season ahead. And I think you don't stop and think, wow, we, you know, we have come a long way. And actually, so we've got the sheds behind our house, which has got 3 dye machines, a yellow, a red and a blue. And we've got our big cappuccino machines, Tony called them. So we've started calling them cappuccino machines, but they're just like big dye pots, basically, that are steam operated. So it heats the water through steam. But actually my mum and dad live up the road, and in their byre, we have got the winding machines. So that's where we wind the yarn comes from the mill on a cone, and then I use the winding machine to wind it off the cone into mega skeins or mega hanks. They're sort of 600 grams, and we dye them in the dye machine. And then once it's been washed and dried, then I go back up to the buyer and I have to get the mega hanks, and then I wind it back onto the cone, and then I wind it into the little retail skeins. I know.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm spending a lot of time listening to audiobooks of Mum and Dad's fire at the moment, so yeah.
And wrapping up warm.
And yeah, it is very cold, isn't it? Yeah.
I think that's a lovely thing, though, as well, is that, you know, you've built this shed too, and you've really put a lot of your own...
We have.
Physical, emotional labour into all of this already. You know,
we have, but it was a dream. But I think it's been good to go slow in that sense, that we have learnt. There have been, you know, 2 steps forward, 1 step back many a time in building this sort of dream to change our life on Skye without changing the building and morphing it to suit us and our passions. And I think we've learnt by doing it yourself and doing it slowly. You learn every step of the way, and you don't realise how much knowledge and expertise you're gaining by maybe failing at something, but you learn from it, you consider it, you think about it, and then you move on. So
yes,
failure fortifies us. That's our saying at the moment. But I think it kind of does.
Oh, the thing is, though, you have plans.
Yeah,
you know where you're going. You know what you want to achieve.
Yes.
And it's just, as you say, taking those steps. And sometimes, as you said as well, it's not till you stop or you show someone like me who comes in and you take a step back and reflect and think, actually, we have done things. Yeah. We have.
So we've started it. Yeah. So the sort of the, because we started dying. So when did we do? Tony, I mean, Tony and Eva have been amazing. And they come and stay with us for a month every year for the last couple of years. And again, Tony came and stayed with us in October for a couple of weeks just passed, and it was like, yeah, we'll be dying by the end of the week. No, so the dye machines still weren't working, still had to the plumbing wasn't correct, and so we didn't do our first dye run. Tony came, because they're living on Harris now, so he came across for the weekend, and we did our first indigo batch, and that was December. So it's only been since December that we've been practicing our dyeing. I mean, the most exciting bit for me is working with nature and harvesting and using the plants around. But from the word go now, it's just been a case of working with Tony and Eva's recipes, and just having a go. And that's our starting point. And then we can nudge the colours in different directions that we want. I just can't wait. I love it. Today is such a springy day outside.
Gorgeous.
And the alder cones are out there, and I keep going and feeling them and seeing if they're ready. So that, and that's the most exciting bit, is going to be working with the nature around and starting to use the dye plants that are around here.
Yes.
So it's good starting to learn our process now with sort of the ancient dyes, but it's going to be really exciting when we start using, you know, a combination of the two.
Yes. Yeah, because I know, I think from your sort of Instagram feed, you've done small selection testings, haven't you, of some of the things that you've been able to find in
it's
nature.
Amazing. The dye plants around here, there's a lovely artist. Do you know Caroline Deer?
I know of her. I don't know her, but
she
I know the name.
She was up here yesterday. She's doing an art project on water and springs. So she wanted to come and look at our spring that we use to dye with, the spring water. And but she's really knowledgeable about local plants, and particularly she's interested in local plants that are kind of found on verges or you know, that are just overlooked, but they're the ones that are really good at dyeing, and it's everywhere here. So it's using that knowledge again.
Well, when we spoke last time, you were getting ready to wind down the cafe, the Sky Pie Cafe, which so many people miss. But then you ended up doing that last year while you were still working in the background getting ready with the Schillers Their business. And now today I've come back and you had the paintbrush in your hand and you're getting ready, and you've got your wall room and your shop that people will eventually be able to come to.
Yes, no, it's definitely, this time last year, I think we decided that it was the plumbing up of the machines and just getting everything ready. It was just too much pressure, and the machines weren't going to be ready. It wasn't going to be plumbed in time. All the plumbing in the back of the shed hadn't been sorted out, that we were going to miss the season. And you know, on Sky, when you live seasonally, you make your money in the summer, and then in the winter time, the bank account gets empty, and then you've got to open up again. And it was just going to be too long. So we thought, I think Simon had the idea. He's like, why don't we do the cafe again? And we did feel relief. And I think we're just so lucky that we've got that to fall back on here. So yeah, we did the cafe again, and we were very fortunate that all our lovely staff were happy to come back. So it was easy. It was an easy switch to do in your head and think, right, we'll do it and we'll go out on a high and we'll do one last go. So so Sky Pie finished in October, and then since then we've been decorating. So now, under the umbrella of the Glenview, we have our 3-bedroom B&B still, and we now have Earth and Sky Yoga Studio, where we can take up to 6 yogis, and Simon can lead a class. And then we've got our wool shop now as well, so that's, which has a separate entrance. So yeah, it's coming together. It's
brilliant.
Definitely coming together.
Brilliant. So this summer
plans, wool shop, busy, lovely, go. I'll go. So I think life will be, we've got the 3-bedroom B&B. Simon does meditation before 7, then he cooks the breakfast, then I do the rooms, then the wool shop's going to open up about 11:30, and then I think Simon and I will tag team in the shop and processing wool and dyeing, and then Simon teaches yoga at night. So yeah, it's just going to be busy. And then we've planned that, we've got a couple of retreats planned in October, I think it is. We're going to have Simon's going to do a yoga retreat. People can come and stay here for 4 nights, fully catered. And then we're also going to do a yoga and yarn retreat. So I'm excited about that one.
Yeah.
So,
and the best thing about it as well is, because Simon's a chef too, you've got the whole package
got
all together, haven't you?
I know. So we're lucky. So it's going to be nourishing food. and the yoga and yarn, I've been experimenting with sock blanks and doing like eco print bundles, so you know people can go for their mindful walk and gather the local plants, and then we just have to do a bundle, and I'll steam that on the first night, and then we're gonna knit yoga socks or whatever project anyone wants to do. And then Simon will be doing restorative yoga for knitters, so lots of working on the shoulders.
I need the wrists, that.
I know, posture. So it just feels like everything is coming together, and we've got a lot to do in the next 6 weeks. So we've got EYF first sort of landmark, and then after that we've got the shop's not going to open till Easter, which is late this year, which is very, very lucky.
Yes, it is, isn't it? It's about middle of April or something,
yes,
isn't
thank
it?
Yeah. Goodness. So that's when the shop will open, and we've got the online shop which will open then also.
Right.
Yeah, and then just keep productivity going throughout the year. Yes, and then that's it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I need to sign up now for yoga and yarn.
Yes.
Retreat.
Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
That sounds amazing.
Well, that's where we want to... We've loved doing the B&B, so we've done it for 11 years now. We've been here. But when we first, for the first 7 years, Simon was, it was fine dining restaurants and it was dinners. But then we changed it because of the kids. But now the kids are older. I think it's time to go back to catering people, but maybe four-day retreats.
Yes.
And then have gaps and then do another 4 day and just getting like-minded
Lovely.
People to come
yeah.
and stay, people who are interested in what we're interested in.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, that sounds
good.
Really exciting.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you're coming to Edinburgh Yarn Festival and
yes.
more importantly to the Sunday event,
yes.
the Make Wool event,
yes.
then do pop along and see Kirsty and
yes.
Simon.
And Simon will be there.
And you'll be
looking
able to talk
confused.
To Yeah. He might be quite happy to talk about his yoga.
He'll and... just talk yoga.
So yeah, find out about, talk to them about the yoga and yarn and have a look at what's come out of the dye shed over mm-hmm. the winter.
Yeah, it's very bright colours at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, it's bright. But it's rich and
yeah.
all of the colours that you've got all go together. They
yeah.
all blend well together.
Yeah.
And as you say, over time, you will start to build up
palettes
your...
Palettes will change, yeah.
You
do
know.
Limited editions with different
yes.
shades. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's... yes. No, it's exciting. I'm really looking forward to it.
Brilliant. Well, I'm really fortunate. I have been able to... buy myself a ticket for the Make Wool event, so
good.
I'm looking forward to being there on that day, and I will come and sneak by and say hello,
and,
yeah.
and we'll
see how
you're
getting
see
on.
See you on Saturday as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you, Kirsty. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I think that's it. You know. Yeah. I guess we've both got to get on with.
Yes.
Forever.
Yeah. We're not alone. There's always a lot of work to be done in these final few weeks.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yes, we shall leave you now and hope to see some of you in Edinburgh. If not, then I will put all the links to Kirsty and Simon's businesses on my show notes so you can have a look up there and follow their progress.
Yeah, come and stay.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kirsty.
Thank you.
I loved catching up with Kirsty again and seeing how her and Simon's journey with Schiller's Dare is growing. Yeah, I felt very honoured to get a glimpse into the dye shed. Those machines, they're pretty awesome, and I'm incredibly excited to see the wool shop when it opens at Easter. I need to put a note in the diary to make a trip up there. For now, the rest of my day is twisting yarn, labeling yarn. Oh, it just takes so long. Not that I'm complaining, but until I started having yarn as part of one of my products, I just hadn't realised how much work goes into that side of preparation for a display. There is still a lot to do. The lists are many, the days are few, and there's going to be some late nights in the final handful of days. When you see me, if you are coming along, I might well just look a little bit dazed. We will be driving down on Wednesday morning. We will be up early. We have a trailer now, so it's a longer journey. So, yeah, it's at least 5 hours plus some stops. And setting up is at least 5 hours as well. It just takes so long. Even with a plan, you know, I've drawn how I want my grid walls to be. I have an idea of where the wool's going, where the earrings are. But even on the day, you find that these things just take so much time. Just, you know, unloading your vehicle from being in the backyard, going up to where you are, lifting and shifting. And that in itself is pretty tiring before you even start opening all your boxes and your bags and piling it on. And you're seeing everybody and you're saying hello and hi. And you all want to have a catch up, but you just haven't got time. You're just there on a mission, focused head, get this set up. So yeah, it's usually by Wednesday evening, absolutely shattered. And then we have those three wonderful days where I get to meet you, I get to say hello. Oh, it's just such a fantastic vibe and I am very much looking forward to it. But yeah, I might just have a few bags under my eyes. That's it for now then. I'll either see you in Edinburgh or I will catch up with you via the podcast afterwards when I'll bring you a review of how everything went. Until then, you can find the show notes on the website at tjfrog.co.uk. And if you'd like to get in touch, either drop me a line at tanya@tjfrog.co.uk or via the contact page on the website. Or you can find me on Facebook and Instagram as TJ Frog Sky, Twitter as TJ Frog Makes, and Ravelry as TJ Frog. The music is by Ron Paintant and licensed from Melody Loops and called One Frog for a Prince. Bye for now. Till next time.